Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. When you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters. The very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
Take your eyes off the woman in the red dress. Get them focused squarely on the problem that we face. And the problem we face, as I think we all would agree, is called the bipartisan corrupt, morally bankrupt, de facto versus de jure, national, masquerading as a federal government located in the 10 square miles of swamplands in Washington, D.C. Folks, that is our adversary, and don't think they are not going to give up without a fight. Now, our fight is a political fight. So please, when I use those terms, understand how I use them. I do not use them. That is time to grab your AR-15. I would actually resist you in that regard. But we are in a rhetorical fight. Let's follow the example of the Brits in the United Kingdom and engage in this battle. But this is a rhetorical political battle at this point, friends. But it is a fight nonetheless. Welcome to the Mark Kreslin Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be. Thank you for joining us. We're live Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Central Time to 8 a.m. Central Time, followed by my good friend Mike Church, host of the Mike Church Show. And as a live call-in program, that means you can always call the program simply by picking up your phone, opening up your dial pad and touching the numbers 844-527-8723, 844-5-CRUSADE, and you will be transmitted immediately to Christopher down in the Louisiana studio. I broadcast out of Oklahoma, and he will put you in the queue, and we'll get you online to talk to your fellow listeners, of which I will become one at that point. You will then have the show to explain your points and what you are calling to discuss. I appreciate when you guys call, by the way. There's some really profound wisdom in this listening audience, and you guys have inspired me. I've stolen some of your terms. I remember Chris calling in early from Florida, Chris from Florida calling in early in the show, and rather than me writing in Patrick Henry on my ballot, he counseled to write in, "I don't consent to this system of government." Great idea. He has changed my mind on that. I will be writing in, "I don't consent to this system of government," because he's exactly right. The problem is the government. And while Patrick Henry would have been a good protest vote, it makes more sense to write in, "I do not consent to this system of government." Will it nullify my ballot? Probably. But you know what? I'll be taking a picture and putting it up on my Facebook page to show that I am issuing a protest vote at a minimum. I am sending a message of one to the overlords in Washington, D.C., to the bipartisan, corrupt, and morally bankrupt evildoers in Washington, D.C., that I don't consent to this system of government in keeping with the Declaration of Independence. Well, that came from Chris from Florida. I found out yesterday through a new Facebook friend, Chris from Tennessee. I tracked down where the term American Union came from. It came from a call he made on Monday, where he described the United States as the American Union. And I will tell you, I take that as almost a bit of divine providence, because literally, folks, for years, I have been trying to come up with a way to replace the word nation with something else that's easier to say. So from time to time, I would use the word union, but most people just wouldn't get that. It just didn't, you know, it didn't make sense to the average person. Then I would try country, but as I said yesterday, country kind of has the same feeling of a nation. And then you try to talk about these United States, and that's just long, and people will nod their heads and they'll agree. And then Chris, I think through some providential appointment, came up and called in and came up with the term American Union. Now, why is that a good term in my view? Well, what did the citizens of the United Kingdom secede from over there in Europe? They seceded from the European Union. Well, if we apply the same thinking to the European Union that is comprised of 28 member states, soon to be 27, when the United Kingdom exercises or triggers Article 50 of the EU Compact, they will withdraw, they will secede from that union. Well, in theory, America is a union. It even stipulates that in the preamble to the Constitution. Again, what does the preamble say? Now, I recognize it's not binding, but it's certainly communicating something, or why write it? They were creating this Constitution to form what? A more perfect nation? Were they forming a more perfect country? Or were they forming a more perfect union? Even they acknowledged it, even though there were some at the Philadelphia Convention that were perfectly happy with a consolidated government and a nation. They would have been perfectly happy with that. But they consented because of some significant reasons. We'll get into it at some point there at the Philadelphia Convention. It's a whole story in and of itself. And they penned the words to form a more perfect union. So to help our average citizen, our fellow man, our neighbor, our coworkers, our family members, to better understand what we are supposed to be here in these United States, I think the term American Union perfectly expresses what we're supposed to be. Therefore, if we are in American Union, much like the citizens of the United Kingdom, we can withdraw in our states as well. We can secede if we are truly part of an American Union. If we're part of a consolidated nation, which sadly way, 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 way too many people believe we are, and perhaps just by that belief we have become one, we've morphed into one. I'm not convinced we are not. But you know, we have a duty to continue to fight forward and try to persuade our fellow man to unplug the matrix cable, to take their eye off the woman in the red dress, to think clearly about this, and understand that they are part of an American Union of 50 states. And nowhere in the historic record that I'm aware of has any state surrendered its sovereignty to the federal government, and that's a key point. There's no document that I'm aware of. In fact, there are documents to the exact opposite. New York, Virginia, I think Rhode Island, all said in their ratification documents when they agreed to this Constitution, they said, hey, if you guys screw it up, we reserve the right to resume governance to ourselves. So not only is there no document out there where a convention within a state signed that said we are hereby subservient to you, federal government, for eternity, and we can never get out, there's actually documents to say exactly the opposite. So we have part of unplugging the cable from the back of our fellow neighbors and family members and coworkers' head is to help them understand that we are 50 separate and sovereign states. There is no document signed by conventions in those states that said we hereby promise to genuflect at whatever Washington, D.C. says. And as I said a moment ago, there are documents to the exact opposite. I can show them to you. You know, there's a certain pseudo-historian running around in the evangelical Christian community that claims He owns 100,000 documents, and therefore that makes him an expert in history. Well, I have Google, and when I type in something in the search bar, I have a million documents. So there, I'm even smarter because I have access to a million documents. In fact, sometimes when I type in a search phrase in Google, I have access to billions of documents. So there, I am really smart because I have access to millions of documents. Folks, you get the point. Just because somebody has access to 100,000 documents does not make him the final arbiter of what occurred back in 1776 and 1787. You need to look for yourself. And I will do you a favor today. I will post those ratification documents on my Facebook page, which you can go to, please, Facebook.com/TheMarkCreslinShow. While you're there, please like the page, connect with us, me, here at the Veritas Radio Network. Like the page, that enables us to stay in touch. That would be Facebook.com/TheMarkCreslinShow. I will do you a favor. I will post those ratification documents so you can read them yourself and you can see what good old New York said when they ratified the Constitution. They made a they fired a shot across the bow, if you will, by saying, if you guys mess this up, we reserve the right to resume governance to ourselves. When I speak around the country, I often ask people in the audience if anybody is from New York, at which point I chide them and say, why haven't you followed the direction of your own ratification documents and seceded from this union? You said you would do it. Why haven't you? Virginians, if you're listening to the Mark Creslin Show here and you're from Virginia, if you're from New York, why haven't you followed what you said you would do in your ratification documents when you said that if this federal government were to get off the tracks, you would resume governance to yourselves? Why haven't you stuck to your word? Here in Oklahoma, unfortunately, we have a really crummy opening article to our state constitution. We don't quite completely genuflect, but we're pretty close to genuflecting. Our constitution is not as bad as Nevada's. You want to read a disaster? Read Nevada's state constitution. They all but say, tell us to jump and we will respond, how high, sir? Well, practically speaking, let's be honest, friends, most of your states do the same exact thing, even though they're not required to in their constitution. Oklahoma will at least pause before they say, yes, sir, how high? They'll pause and say, I wonder if we have to. Yeah, we have to. How high, sir? So our constitution is not quite as bad as Nevada's, but there are some changes that need to happen to the Oklahoma state constitution. But you guys in Virginia, you guys in New York, why haven't you dug up your ratification documents and thrown it right back in the face of Washington, D.C. and said, you know what, we're out. We said we would. We told you we would. We're out. Well, folks, we only ever get to that point if we actually think we are an American union versus a nation. Purge the word nation from your vocabulary. Get it out. If you live in a nation, the closest nation you live in is really the state you live in. At least when you're referring to a nation, call it the nation of Georgia. Call it the nation of Florida. But don't call this thing you live in, this continent you live in, this landmass between the Pacific and the ocean and the Atlantic Ocean, a nation. Don't. All you do when you refer to that as a nation is you further empower Washington, D.C. You essentially admit they are the head of the nation. You may pound your chest and say, well, we're not going to obey Washington. Right, right. Who actually does that? By using that term to describe where you live, you empower your masters. You empower them. You send them the keys. You send them the whip. And you say, beat me more. You are part of an American union. That is a historic fact. Even the vaunted 14th Amendment did not create a nation. Now, we act like we're a nation. Shame on us. If you stop and think about what we're about to celebrate, Independence Day, shame on us that we let those people spill all that blood and brandy wine at Lexington, all the way to Yorktown. Shame on us that we let them spill that blood and then we squandered the very thing they fought for. Shame on us. They didn't think of themselves as a consolidated nation. You heard me play the clip a couple of weeks ago, Robert E. Lee, when he was offered the command of the Union Army. What did he say? What did he say? I cannot fight against my country, Virginia. This is one of the great problems we face, those of us here in the secession movement, the exit movement. We're facing a problem that the Brits did not face. They did not have a European identity, yet they were getting close to it, but they didn't quite get there. Maybe in another decade or two, Brits would have considered themselves to be Europeans. After all, that is what the European Union was, the Parliament was angling for. They were angling for political integration, which means consolidation, which means they wanted Washington, D.C. to move to Brussels. Heck, they got pretty darn close. I'm going to play some clips here. Today is going to be a great day. You need to stay tuned in the entire show. I am going to play some clips from some very eloquent speakers over there who were arguing for leave, for secede. Daniel Hannan and what's his name? Farage. Nigel Farage. Listen to the arguments they make. They understood what the problem was. They saw political integration coming. They saw that there was probably just a few decades between the United Kingdom becoming fully European and ruled from Brussels. They saw it. Unfortunately, we haven't seen it yet. We still think the fight is partisan. Oh, we've got to beat Hillary. Well, Hillary's the new Antichrist. Yeah, even Levin yesterday, apparently Levin, Mark Levin, the great constitutional scholar, apparently Mark Levin has jumped on the Trump train. He's moderating his views on the person he heretofore had hated and despised, mocked and ridiculed on his program over and over again. I think he's come to understand the Trump train is leaving. I think he has come to understand that there's a good chance Trump wins this thing. And so, like all political pragmatists who lack principle, apparently he has jumped on the Trump train and has been praising a speech the Trumpster gave, apparently yesterday on trade or something. But it was mainly about Hillary. He was going to beat up Hillary. And that's the problem we face right now. Most people still believe, naively, and I understand why, that the fight we have in America is a partisan fight. Heck, Daniel, well, what's his name? Thomas Massey, congressman from Kentucky, yesterday issued put out a report that he wants to start to get the hashtag America UN or something like that. American out of the UN. He wanted to get that hashtag going. He wants to get that trending. Let's get America out of the American exit the UN. That's what it was. Something like that. His big bold statement from the hallowed halls of Congress was, "Let's get America to exit the UN." That's laughable. We're $19 trillion in debt, nearly 20. We're killing a million babies a year. 3,000 will die today. And the biggest problem we face is the United Nations? Are you kidding me? It is laughable what Congressman Massey issued as a charge to the American people. Oh, we've got to get out of the UN. You're from Kentucky. How about you start a Kentucky exit movement in your state to get away from Washington, D.C.? And you know the reason he doesn't issue that edict? Because he's part of Washington, D.C. You see, folks, we still think the problem is partisan. And until more people come to realize that the problem is not partisan, the problem is Washington, D.C., the bipartisan, corrupt, and morally bankrupt Washington, D.C., until we come to realize that, well, we're going to keep arguing against the wrong enemy. Those of you who have found your way over here to the Mark Kreslin Show, part of the Crusade Channel, here on the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be. Welcome, by the way. But you're finding an oasis in a desert of drivel in mainstream conservative talk radio. Mainstream conservative talk radio is going to try to convince you all day today that the problem we face today is a partisan problem. That if the Republicans just get more control, I guess more control will equal a decentralization of power from Washington, D.C. My gosh, just 2 days ago, the five of the eight, because we don't have a ninth Supreme Court justice now, I recognize that, five of the eight living oracles, the politically connected lawyers in black dresses, struck down a Texas law. Now, how is more Republican power in the White House and the Congress going to fix that? Because the Congress has the power now to strip jurisdiction from the Supreme Court. Where is the vaunted Republican pro-life members of Congress taking to the House floor, putting in legislation to strip jurisdiction from the Supreme Court? I don't recall hearing anything. I hear crickets. So all these morally upstanding Republicans that run around year after year claiming to be pro-life, if you elect them, by golly, we're going to end abortion in this country. Given the chance to do it time and time again, when do they even put legislation in? Never mind actually doing it. And I'm supposed to believe in a partisan solution? I'm supposed to listen to mainstream conservative talk radio and conclude, oh, yes, this time it's going to work, Kreslin, you big dummy. If you don't get off of this secession stuff and get on board to pointing out that Hillary is the net, yet we're about to lose the current Antichrist, Obama. But the new Antichrist right out there on the horizon is Hillary. Kreslin, if you don't get on board to knocking her down, then we're tuning off your stupid little program. We're tired of your babbling on about freedom, about taking back control in our own country, i.e. the state you live in. We're tired of that talk. We want to stop Hillary because we recognize that there's no data out there to prove that the Republicans in control of anything means anything, but that's not the point. We feel good about Republicans getting into power, and after all, we are a feelings-oriented generation today. We make decisions based on our feelings. We don't want to be pregnant, so we go kill our babies. We don't want to celebrate and honor the institution of marriage that has stabilized the world for millennia. And instead, we want to shack up. We want to divorce when we're tired of our spouse. We are a feelings-oriented culture, Kreslins. Get on board. Yes, we know the Republicans really will do nothing if they're in power, but we want to feel good that they could do something in power. And after all, that's what mainstream conservative talk radio... Kreslins, how do you think they have millions of people tuning into their show, and you've got four? You know, wake up and smell the coffee, Kreslins. If you spend a little bit more time pointing out how Hillary is the new evildoer. She is the new Antichrist. And yeah, Trump's not great, but he's not as much of an Antichrist as she is. Then maybe you'll get up to 100,000 listeners or 500,000 listeners. And no, in fact, Kreslitz, we're going to make a deal with you. If you'll get off of the stupid secession idea and start talking about why the Republican Party is morally superior to the Democrat Party and why Donald Trump, while, yes, evil, is a lesser of evil, then, Kreslins, we're going to tune into your show. We're going to listen. But if you insist on talking about freedom, on talking about your stupid little hashtag American Union, if you insist on, that's not what we want. We want to feel good about this election. And mainstream conservative talk radio helps us feel good about it. We know, Kreslins, you don't have to tell us. We know that it doesn't mean a hill of beans who gets into power. We know that. Okay, can you just please put that to bed? We recognize that it doesn't matter a hill of beans if Trump gets in there or Hillary gets in there. We know that. But we want to carry signs. We want to feel good about ourselves. We want to at least say, yeah, we had to hold our nose, but we voted for Trump. We want to accept the premise of voting for the lesser of two evils. We want to walk out of the voting booth with our sticker on saying, I voted and I did my patriotic civic duty. Now, if you're going to start asking us to consider how life might be better away from Washington, D.C., click. That's what you're getting, Kreslins. You keep it up. Click. I'll press that. Matter of fact, Kreslins, I got my finger on that button right now. You say it one more time this morning on June 29th at 6:30. You say it one more time that the solution forward is secession, and I'm clicking the button. Say it, Kreslins. Say it. But if you talk about Hillary, if you talk about her screech, how hard she is to listen to, her coddling up to the bankers, the money she got from foreign governments, that mistreat women and throw homosexuals off of buildings. If you talk about her, Kreslins, I'm calling my friends. I'm going to say, you have to listen to this guy over there in the Veritas Radio Network. He's kind of sounding like mainstream conservative talk radio. I think we should tune in. Now, Kreslins, you make the choice. Say it again. Say the word secession, and I'll click that button. You start beating up on Hillary. You start pointing out how the Republicans are going to be that much better if they get into power. And, Kreslins, I've got my finger on my cell phone. I'll call my friends. You make the choice, Kreslins. Make it now. To which I respond, secession! There, I said it. Click. I'm going to look up my numbers right now and just see how far they went down. And bingo. They're caving. But for you who stuck around to listen to my babbling on about secession here in the American Union, hashtag the American Union, well, you're getting at least truth here. I know truth is not very popular today, but that's why Mike named the network Veritas Radio Network. He is going to promote truth on this network. We all do. I recognize truth is not a very enjoyable commodity today. People don't want it. But I know what my Savior said in the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I have been set free politically in my thinking. I am no longer bound by the right-left paradigm. I am no longer bound by the conservative versus liberal paradigm. I unplugged the matrix cable from the back of my head. I got out of that matrix. And my guess is those of you in the listening audience today have likewise. But for you new listeners who are just tuning in, and we know we routinely have them, welcome first, but understand that you probably come here with a matrix cable plugged in the back of your head that you don't even know that is there. And that heretofore, You have been told to believe that the Republican Party in power is somehow better than the Democrat Party. And you have been told heretofore to, even if you don't like the candidate that the Republican Party puts up, you are to hold your nose and go vote for them, or compromise your principles about evil by voting for the lesser of two. And heretofore, most people compromise their what they claim to be our deeply held beliefs. I won't compromise my deeply held beliefs. I don't care at this point. So I will write in on my ballot, I don't consent to this system of government. I will not play along with whoever starts promoting it first. We've got to vote the lesser of the two evils. You know that's coming. I will not do that. I will not compromise. Evil is evil, friends. So I will not vote the lesser of two evils. I will not hold my breath or hold my nose and go into the voting booth and vote again for the next Republican, because somehow that's going to be better than the Democrat. I am off of that train. I am not on the Trump train. I'm on the freedom train. That's what I seek. And so if you're new here to the listening audience, welcome. Glad you're here. You're going to hear provocative things here. But they're truthful things. I can back up what I say by the historic record. There is no data to prove that the Republican Party is better than the Democrat Party. There is no proof that the solution going forward is a partisan solution. The solution going forward is working in your state to get your state to exit the hashtag American Union. By the way, continue using hashtag American Union out there on Facebook and Twitter. It gets it trending. Trending means it catches people's attention. People might actually find your post and read your eloquent writing about why getting out of the American Union, just as the people of the United Kingdom got out of the European Union, why that is a part of a solution going forward. You can't restore the culture in your state until you get away from the entity that is contributing to the decline of your culture. Think about it. This is not rocket science. You want to end abortion? Get away from the entity that is forcing you to continue killing your babies in your state. Who is that? Who is that force that is doing that? Well, let's be clear about it. It is the bipartisan, politically connected attorneys in black dresses referred to as the Supreme Court. They represent the other, a third branch of the adversary to ending abortion in your state. So explain to me, in that current configuration, how exactly do you end abortion in your state? The only way you end it in your state, you want to restore some semblance of a moral culture in your state, you're going to have to get away from those who control your state. This is not rocket science, folks. This is not hard. I don't know why it's become so hard. It's become so hard because people, you know, are more aligned to the Constitution than their own principles. We'll talk about that when we come back from this break. Right now, let's bring on Sterling in Oklahoma. Sterling, welcome to the Mark Kreslin Show on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. How are you this morning, Mark?
I'm doing just fine.
Well, just before I hit the exit Kreslin's button.
Uh-oh.
I just needed to get you on topic. You're off topic this morning. And so I was feeling a bit masochistic on my way to work this morning.
Okay.
So I turned on satellite radio, and I thought, I can't listen to Fox News. Let me see what Fox Business News is saying.
Okay.
So I turn it over,
yeah,
and former ambassador John Bolton is being interviewed, and we have to get the Oklahoma militia put together right now, because we, the term we was used, have been attacked.
Oh, really?
We being, yes, Istanbul, Turkey's airport is now part of we.
Isn't this the problem, Sterling? We're part of a global community now.
Well, so, I mean, the Oklahoma militia has got to protect our borders now. It's time, and
it
you're wasting time talking about abortion and trying to not talk about Hillary or Trump. And
right.
You just
right.
got to get with the times to get the numbers up, man.
Well, I appreciate the counsel from my brother here in Oklahoma. I will tell you, Sterling, stay encouraged. There's some good news coming here in Oklahoma. You know, there appears to be more divine appointments happening with those of us who are working diligently to begin to understand that we do have to really defend our borders here. And so hang in there with us. Good news is coming. And we hope. Now, it will be through much prayer, and I would encourage everybody in the listening audience to pray for our effort here in Oklahoma. It will spread to other. There will be contagion to other parts of the country here if we're successful, and we can do away with the likes of John Bolton and not have to listen to his drivel anymore.
Oh, I didn't listen very long.
Like, I'm sure you didn't.
I've just got to go ahead and get to Veritas and listen to some replay and wait for 6 o'clock to show up. I can't do that to myself very often, but I'm driving close to 700 miles today, and I don't think I'm going to get anywhere near Istanbul, Turkey.
But you still got to just metaphorically understand, Sterling, you're part of a global community. That
I just can't feel it. I don't feel it.
Well, we need to get you in some indoctrination camp then, brother. But perhaps you need to drive to Washington.
You're on the front page of the Oklahoman. It's happening.
I know. I know. Believe me. All right, brother.
Get out and vote.
We do. Yeah, right. Yeah, vote, hope, and cope. That'll do it. That'll fix everything.
Well, you have a good day.
You too, brother. Thanks for the entertaining call.
All right.
We do have to bring some levity to some of this, friends. If we really aligned our feelings with where we really are, this is the kind of music I'd be playing every day. Let me see if I can bring it up real quick. Yeah, here it is. I'd be playing this all day. Isn't that inspiring music? The song is actually called The Death Dance. That would be appropriate music if I truly aligned my emotions about our real situation. It would be a death dance. I mean, just hear it. Poor Sterling had to hear John Bolton this morning. It's going to take him a while to unclear his head from that. We're part of a global community. Yes, it is tragic what happened, obviously, in Istanbul. But I don't live in Istanbul. I live in Oklahoma. And while I can grieve and mourn for the families there, Turkey's got to take care of Turkey. Oklahoma's got no solution for Turkey. We may want to be trade partners with them, but they're going to have to deal with that. But it's not surprising. You know, the globalists out there, they are intent on making this a global government, folks. And don't think that Washington, D.C. is a big part of that. Don't think that those guys up there are not globalists. They all are. Let me be careful. They're not all globalists, but the vast majority of them are. We come back from this break. I want to play some clips from Dan. I will actually get to them this coming up segment from Daniel Hannan and Nigel Farage. And they're going to be a little bit long, but they're going to be also inspiring, and they're going to give you an example of the way forward for us, the kind of arguments that we will need to be making going forward if we want to exit the American Union, if the state you live in can work with other states, especially Hannan. There's one particular part of a longer clip I'm going to play where he makes just an excellent argument and a moral argument about why the exit, the UK exit, shouldn't be seen as extreme as the globalists want to make it. The globalists, well, hang on a second. Let me actually check the futures this morning. I usually do this, and I didn't do it this morning. Let's see if we're charging back or the world is about to come to an end again. Let's see. Finance. Okay. Well, no, they're charging back again. The Dow futures are up 93 right now. So they're probably only 100 or 200 points away from erasing the cataclysmic end of the world last Friday. You do remember, you do all recall that last Friday after the UK secession vote, the world ended. You do understand that, right? Oil's charging back. It's up almost 1%. So you're get ready to start paying more at your gas pump again. But you do understand that the world essentially came to a screeching halt. Half of the world got baked all day by the sun because the world stopped spinning, according to the naysayers and who were commenting on the British secession from the European Union. The world came to an end, but unbelievably, people came to their senses, and now we're charging back. The Dow futures are up 92 points right now. It's going to be a good day in the stock market. Yeehaw! Now we can feel good about ourselves again. The world isn't coming to an end, at least for now, but wait till tomorrow. Maybe the world will come to an end again. But I do want to play a clip when we get back from this break that will show you some eloquence, show you some ways to make arguments. It'll be a good lesson from these two guys because we're going to need to make them here if we intend to get Texas going or Oak exit or Louisiana exit or Arkansas exit or Tennessee exit or whatever exit we can get going. It's going to take some people who can command the floor and command the microphone like these two guys did. Right now, I want you to know you're listening to The Mark Rosen Show. My number is 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. Remember, if you missed any of this episode, you can always download it, and you can listen live streaming, by the way, by becoming a Founders Pass member. It's easy to do. Just go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com, click the join button, and for as little as 23 cents a day, you can become a Founders Pass member. I don't know where we are where we are today, but yesterday we were 13 shy of hitting our target for the month. Please, if you've not become a Founders Pass member today, do so today. Help us reach our goal of 100 new members this month. And you will be part of this movement, folks. You will be part of getting the truth out there. We're breaking through. We're getting through to people. People are finding our little oasis in the desert of deception out there. They're finding this little oasis of truth. And so that only happens because of you. Thank you to those of you who have contributed so far and become Founding Pass members. We wouldn't be where we are right now without you. So thank you very much. This is the Mark Kreslin Show on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be.